Hello, everyone. Welcome to UGA Sports Live. My name is Roddy Nabulsi. I am joined by former Georgia Bulldogs head coach Jim Donnan and, of course, our recruiting expert and team writer Jed May. He's filling in for us this week because he was actually in Indianapolis this past weekend with some of our other guys. Shout out to Bobby Andrews and who else do you went up there with? Patrick Garvin. So, yeah. I was trying to think. I was like, wait a minute, did we send four? No, we sent three guys up there. And you guys did a fantastic job covering the combine for the readers at UGASports.com. Remember, it's only 27 cents a day if you want to read the dog vent and be a member at UGASports.com. So you were up there, and I didn't go this year. I had a conference I had to go to with my wife. I got to be the chauffeur and a kept man, if you will, as she was the vice chair of a major conference in Charleston. So while I was in Charleston, you were in Indianapolis eating all the eating up all our budget for the rest of the year. Thanks. I appreciate that when I see your expense report. But kind of give me your thoughts overall, and then we'll get into specifics. But there are 11 Georgia players up there. That's pretty damn good. Give me your thoughts on kind of who stood out to you right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, it was different than last year just because – you had Stetson Bennett performed well last year. You had Nolan Smith do just freakish things last year. There wasn't that one like crazy splash moment, unless you want to count Ladd McConkey running a 4.39, which is obviously really good. But yeah, it was just all those guys were solid all the way around. You know, Javon Buller, Tyke Smith ran good 40s. That'll help them. I mentioned Ladd already. I think that the one, I mean, disappointment, if you could call it that, is Brock Bowers not working out. But with a guy of his caliber, you get it. I wanted to see him run the 40 like everybody else, but I would assume he would do that at Pro Day here in a couple weeks. And obviously, Amarius Mims, I guess, tweaking a hamstring or whatever happened to him in the 40, that kind of sucked, especially for a drill that, you know, you can debate the merits of it for offensive linemen, especially. You know, the 10-yard split is important, but because they were saying on TV, like, well, maybe guys should just pull up after 10 yards, but I feel like that would be hard to do, get up to full speed, and then, so, anyway, there's not a great way to do it for linemen, but it sucked to see him go down, especially when he came up and he was talking about how much he's matured, how he's approaching this like a job interview, so, you know, a tough way to see that go down, but yeah, just another – so, like you said, it's 11 guys and all solid performances, and it's a, you know, quote unquote down year, right, compared to what it's been the past couple of years, just with all the freakish highlights Georgia guys have put out.
That's a good point. When I was thinking about who really could stand out in this, I thought that when we reported on December 8th that Ladd McConkey had received a report from the, you know, a draft evaluation that he could go first day. Maybe second day, you know, definitely second day guy, potentially easing up into the first round. Now there's a lot more people, especially after his really good week that he had at the Senior Bowl. They're thinking about him as, I mean, yeah, he's not a definite first round guy, but there have been a couple of draft projections. And of course, we've seen him anywhere from 32 to 58, but there's definitely no question that he should have gone on to the draft. Same with Brock Bowers, Amarius Mims, guys like that. I think the best thing that came out of this is I don't know that any Georgia guy hurt their draft stock. I think they all helped their draft stock. During the interviews, I didn't see any giant screw-ups. I didn't see them say anything dumb. They were very well coached in how to speak to the media. They were very well coached how to go through all their drills. And I think that 11 guys there, I think at least 10 of them get drafted. I mean, the only guy I think that might not, maybe Zion Lowe. But I think the other 10 are – surefire good. I mean, Dejon Edwards, I think, will get drafted. Kendall Melton get drafted. Javon Buller definitely get drafted. I don't see anybody kind of missing out, or am I reading that wrong?
No, I think you're right. And even Zion Logue's work, I put this in my column I wrote yesterday. It was a lot like his career at Georgia, like not flashy, not a huge, you know, splash, but it was solid. And he weighed in, I think, 314 pounds. So I was telling Patrick while we were there, I wonder how many NFL teams might say, hey, let's get this guy, let's put some weight on him and maybe play him, you know, as a nose tackle, as a, you know, a guy shading over the center. And he was up front. He was like, yeah, I'm not the 8-sack, 16 tackle for loss guy. I wish I was, but I'm not. So he seems very open to his role of, yeah, I'm just going to take up space inside and free things up for the linebackers, which is kind of what he and these interior guys are asked to do at Georgia. So, yeah, I personally really like Dejon Edwards. I know he's not the biggest guy. He's not the fastest guy. But he gets the job done. So if I was an NFL GM, I would take a shot on Dejon Edwards in the sixth or seventh round for sure. And yeah, I mean, you mentioned Ladd. The only question I had about Ladd coming in was, what are those medical reports going to look like? You know, he's had knee trouble. He had the back thing this year. But the buzz coming out of it, I guess, you know, they were good enough to, you know, not outweigh what he did on the field. So, yeah, great week for him. I mean, I know the Chiefs is kind of like the spot everybody wants to pick him to at 32 with all the receiver troubles maybe they had. I'm trying to think of what the back half of that first round looks like. I mean, with free agency and stuff too, like free agency starts next week. So draft needs kind of vary based on that. But yeah, I mean, there's that top tier of receivers with the, you know, Marvin Harrison, Rome Odunze, those guys. And I feel like there's a lot of quality options in that second tier, if you want to call it that. And a lad certainly made a good statement in elevating himself within that second tier this week for sure.
Coach, from your take, did you see anybody that kind of either really improved their stock or hurt their stock? To me, I thought they all did solid. Nobody blew up like Noah Smith did last year, but then no one really kind of hurt themselves. I remember last year there was all the questions about Jalen Carter. He actually had to leave Indianapolis to go back to Athens to turn himself in to the police and then came right back to Indianapolis. There was a lot of drama and news like that, just stuff that was outside the scope of the combine. But, I mean, this was a pretty drama-free combine, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just think right off the bat, just the sheer size of Amarius Mims got everybody's attention with his wingspan, with his ability to communicate in the meetings. And, you know, I had a little short text with him after he got his so-called tightness in his leg, and he said he was going to be all right. He just figured after he had run that good and he just had a little tightness, he wasn't going to do anything else. But, you know, his tape speaks for itself going against the guys he's gone against in practice. And I thought it just overwhelming how good he looked, you know, and how easily he ran at that weight. And pretty much the same kind of impression I had when I first time I ever saw him, when he came to that junior day up here at UGA. And I told you about him, that he was going to be a first round draft choice, and I wasn't stepping out on a limb there. But I think too that Milton and didn't run a tremendous 40, but his 20 split was really good. 10 yard split. All that was good because that's what you want, acceleration. He showed really good hands, and I think he'll do well in the pro day. Also, Kamari Laster had the best three-cone drill time, which shows you his immediate quickness and ability to recover and all that that everybody loves to see in a corner. And then you're going to add Bullard and Tyke with the stats they had. They'll show some one-on-one stuff here when they come to the deal here in next Wednesday, I think. And then Brock told me, Brock Bowers, that he just felt like he needed a little more time on his ankle. He feels good about it, but there's nothing anything he's going to do to change much. And I'm sure he'll do some testing here next week, but more just route running than anything. It'll be Carson Beck's show. If they get Carson out there, it'll be a good chance for him to throw to all those guys, those two receivers, Browers, and those two backs. I would think that he would do them a favor and throw to them. And he'd do all the NFL scouts a lot of favors too, having him work out for him. So, but, you know, I think for just a marketing standpoint, Georgia having that many guys there, and of course, Alabama, as much as I hate to admit it, going to have four guys in the first round with Latham and those two defensive back. McKinstry didn't come out and wasn't able to practice but because of an injury. And then, of course, Latham and Turner. So that's four first-rounders that Alabama's going to have. And we'll probably have at least two. Laster is going to be right up there. And I think McConkie, as Jed alluded to. And Jed, I just want to say to you professionally, that was a really good job that you did. You didn't have very tough shoes to fill filling in for Roddy, but
come on, man, catching strays over here.
You did a good job.
I appreciate it. And
you did a good job of really getting to the point, which that's what you got to do. People got all kind of choices to read about this. And of course you can watch it on the NFL Network. And it was a good chance for you to interview those guys and all. But I think the thing that Georgia has, these guys know how to train for the combine. Kirby and Sinclair and them teach them how to do that. And they do really well, as you mentioned, Roddy, on the ways that they can communicate when they have a chance to talk to the press too. And, you know, I think it's unfair sometimes to those guys. There's so many Georgia people there that they ask them all kind of chicken shit questions about things that aren't really have anything to do with the draft, but they got a chance to interview them and take away from some of the national people. But I'm more interested in what these guys are going to do now as pros. And I think we have a good contingent of guys drafted again.
Hey coach, I want to get your thoughts on this real quick. Ladd McConkie running a 4.39, lights out. But that sucker benched 225 13 times.
he's the thing that's so
he's
hard.
A little.
It's a Stetson Bennett deal. People can't grasp that a walk-on quarterback led the team to the national championship. People can't grasp that a three-star recruit from Northern Georgia has come in here and played at the level he has. Irrespective of that, these guys are really talented individuals that have tremendous skill at their position. As we've talked about so many times for people who watch our podcast, he's a consummate route runner, and he, as much as we miss Bowers, we missed his deep play ability, his ability to make the intermediate catch would have been huge for our team. And I was going back and forth with Daniel Jeremiah a couple of times during the broadcast, and he mentioned about the fact that when he started talking about Mitchell and Burton, and then said Bowers and McConkie, and then all those other guys that played on that 21 team on offense, not to mention that all-star unit on defense. And it's just an incredible gathering of talent. And you give Kirby and his staff a lot of credit for not only recruiting them, but developing him. And the thing about McConkie is he's just cold-blooded too. He's going to go after you. I mean, he likes to whip your ass. And I think he's got a really good shot of going. And as Jed alluded to, the problem is you got three or four guys there and Neighbors and that other kid from LSU and Adunsi. And then of course, Marvin Harrison Jr. He was AWOL up there. I mean, I don't even know. He didn't even do an interview, did he?
No. Yeah. And he was supposed to be at, he was going the same day Kendall Milton and then went. So they, a combine supervisor or whatever came out and was like, yeah, Kendall's running a little late. Because that happens, like they do, I think they do medical stuff like right before
medical stuff beforehand, they come out really late.
And Kendall had an MRI on his knee, had an x-ray on his elbow that he broke in eighth grade, so he took a little while. But there was a guy next to me asked the supervisor, like, what time, you hear anything on Marvin Harrison? And there's a supervisor and there's a kid there holding a microphone to get the players' answers. And the kid with the microphone's like, oh, I don't think he's coming. Like I saw on Twitter, he's not gonna be here at all. The supervisor guy left, came back and like reamed that kid out. He's like, you are not to talk to the media. Like just like, look, I didn't really need to talk to Marvin Harrison, but he was supposed to talk at, I think, 8:20. And this was about 10:30 when Kendall was supposed to come up. So he was already 2 hours late at that point. I don't guess he, as far as I know, he never showed up at all.
You know, the irony of this whole professional deal up there is you got a guy like Marvin Harrison, who, you know, he's going to be an unbelievable pro. And then Caleb Williams not only didn't throw or work out, he didn't even take a physical. I mean, he just basically said, I'm not doing it. I'm just going to have a physical with it. because he thinks he's going to be the first guy drafted, which he probably will.
Like, there's only five teams that would have a chance to draft him, so I'm only going to do medical stuff with him.
His dad's running the show here. I mean, just like he did when he was in the 10th grade when he came down here, his dad was as close to being a handler for a father as I've ever been around. And I got a text from Coach Switzer here about two days into the draft, and he was talking about Caleb. In fact, when Caleb came out to Oklahoma, I told him he was going to beat Rattler out, and he said, "Oh, you're not." And of course, he did. But and that wasn't hard to pick. But kind of ironic here that in the space of 1 year here, we've had so many things happen at Georgia. And like I told Roddy, if you'd have told me that Carson Beck would be driving a Lamborghini and that James Coley would be the receiver coach last year at this time, I'd tell you smoking some bad weed. But hey,
bad Mad Libs.
Hey,
bad reading and Mad Libs.
And that's why you got to get your stuff from the Rogue Shop, Coach. You know that. Then you don't have any of those bad issues.
I warned some people here. I mean, I watch but all this Super Tuesday, you know, and I got so much time, I just can't watch Sports Center. I've been watching some news here, and they're saying that they've done a study that weed, people that smoke weed have a 45% better chance of having a heart attack or stroke, very similar to what smoking cigarettes do. So you weed people out there, be a little careful about it.
Yeah, that's important. We were talking about wide receivers and Marvin Harrison not exactly being – it doesn't sound like he's very professional, but I thought a guy that kind of helped himself, especially at the with the Senior Bowl and this week, was Marcus Roseby Jack Saint. I know he doesn't show up in a lot of places, but that's an easy guy to root for. And it would not shock me if he gets into the league and has like a Chris Conley type career. And he might not. He may not.
You got to see what he runs, though. I mean, that's going to be huge. I don't know.
That was a guy who. And let's see. Let me look at this story. He didn't. Let me find him on this thing. He didn't.
Run a 40, did
he? He did not run a 40. Yeah. I mean, a 35-inch vertical is not bad. I mean, by any means. But yeah, I was curious to see, because if you watch his tape, he's a guy who can go up and get the ball. I mean, you think of that catch he made in the back of the end zone against Tennessee. You know, he's got that athleticism. What does the speed look like? Is it, he's not cracking 4.4, but if he anything sub 4, like mid 4.5s or below, I think would be a pretty good time for him. And that's
exactly right. And
that's what I was – he was one of the ones that I was – because, I mean, Brock Bowers is 40, like you said, whether it's, 4.45 or 4 – like, it's – Brock Bowers is – his draft stock's not going to change that much based on his 40. Marcus Roseby could have helped himself, I think, if he ran a good 40. And I'm sure he will a pro day and those numbers get out there too. But that was a guy I thought had a lot to gain, maybe.
Here's the thing about Brock Bowers. Let's just pretend that Roddy's the general manager and said, "Hey, Brock," and I'm going to be Brock, just ask me, "Hey, have you ever been clocked in a GPS?
Yeah, you ever had a GPS time there, Brock?"
You know, I don't like to do these interviews, but I'm going to tell you that I was. And so – I guess I should tell you that I ran 21.4. So, I mean, come on. How many of those guys going to be 21.4 like Brock Bowers? Unless it's Jason Riddell.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to that the clip going around this week of him against UAB.
Jason Riddell's already run over 21 here.
Him against UAB zipping down the sideline. The guy who catches him to celebrate with him is Ladd McConkey running him down. And I get it. You're outrunning UAB defensive backs. But those guys are 10, 15 yards downfield ahead of you. So you're basically giving them a head start.
Right.
Outrunning anybody like that's nuts. And those two guys, I'm like, man, to your point, Coach, game speed. You know, what they've shown on GPS means something. That's why I'm like, when I look at Marcus Roseby Jack Saint, I'm like, we never talk about this guy. And just think that he has that potential in him just to be that. If he gets the chance in the NFL, I think he could be a monster. But he may never get it.
You know, we saw in the Senior Bowl, Rattler threw him a fade. But But, you know, another point that I got just thinking about it when I was watching the all the combine, you know, everybody getting red ass about Georgia never signing any receivers. Well, I mean, if you think about Pickens, Mitchell, Burton, McConkey, Bowers, Washington, all the tight ends, I mean, those are some pretty dang good receivers now. And, of course, two of them left here. But I think Mitchell helped himself with that time, too. But he's not even the fastest guy on Texas team. That Xavier Worthy went even faster. But you talk about a team that has some athletes on it. You look at those defensive players that Texas had, and then all those guys that, I mean, they're close to Alabama as far as the talent level. And I don't think Sark recruited any of those guys. The previous guy got most of them, or they got or transferred. But we're getting ready to, I think with Coley, you're going to get back on this train where you're going to get some of these receivers now. And that'll be for sure. And I think certainly BMAC was doing it too. But got to give old Coach Munkin some credit for picking out Mitchell when nobody really knew about him. And also Bell, you know, wasn't really highly recruited. I mean, Bell will light the combine up like a big generator. I mean, you talk about a guy that's got unbelievable vertical and just great hands, and he's getting ready to be big time for us next year.
Well, hey, Coach, to your point, also look at you've been the guy that showed me how often Georgia throws to the running backs as well. All those passes to James Cook and Zamir White and, Kendall Milton and Dejan Edwards, just throwing them out to those guys. There's some guys out there in the NFL right now who are showing what they can do.
That's what got him into the league.
Yeah.
His ability to catch the ball. And
he's your leading receiver for a while.
Backs and tight ends are quarterback's best friend.
That's true. All right, let me bring this up here real quick. We'll finish up with Jed here. Jed, give me your final thoughts on the combine, and then we're going to let you go and hit a commercial break after you give us your final take.
Well, I heard a lot of guys get asked if birds were real, if they believed in space. So, I heard a lot of that this week. But no, seriously. Yeah, it's like y'all said, the Georgia guys are very, they're very polished. They're very polished at the podium. They know how to go through these drills. Coach, you would know better than I would, but I'm sure they do this combine style testing regularly to get ready. And guys, they mentioned versatility so much. You know, Ladd McConkey was like, yeah, I can play inside or in the slot. Kamari Lasser, I can play outside or in the slot. Bullard and Tyke Smith were like, okay, safety, we could put nickel. Cedric Van Pran said, yeah, I repped at guard some in practice last year just to be ready for if a team wants me at guard. So I think the overall message is like the Georgia coaches are going to do whatever they can to obviously win football games in college, but make sure these guys get developed and at least have a shot to go to the combine, show what they got, and get drafted. So like you said, Roddy, there was 11 guys there. I would put pretty decent money down that 10 get drafted, maybe all 11. And yeah, it's going to be another big round of rookies in the NFL next year. For sure. Hopefully the Browns get one. So
no, none of that Browns garbage. Get that out of here.
Who's the Eagles going to take?
Who's who?
Who the Eagles going to take? Keep that going. But hey, you're talking about the Browns here. We got you on here live. What do you think? What do you think about Deshaun Watson? What's your thought? Should they keep him or go with him or?
The talent is there. It's just you're hurting the rest of your team building so much by you giving up three first round picks and you're paying him $55 million. Like if they have to cut Nick Chubb to pay off the stupid Deshaun Watson contract, then that's just like nothing would sum up that franchise more than cutting the guy that everybody loves for the guy that everybody hates. So.
You're right.
I saw what Detroit did this year. I know Cleveland would be the same if they made a run like that. I just hope I got about at least 55, 60 years on this planet. Hopefully we get a title before then. So,
well, how about Denver getting rid of Russell Wilson, taking 37?
Future Atlanta Falcon, Russell Wilson.
Hey, as a Falcons fan, I enjoy Jed's pain pulling the Browns. Just like enjoy someone else's misery.
Surely the Falcons will draft one of these 11 guys.
Well, Roddy, you remember last year, and I know we got to get to commercial, but
they're going to take Jermaine Burton.
Remember how all the scouts were salivating last year? Man, this Will Levis guy, he can throw it so far. Anthony Richardson, he can do a backflip. And me and you were sitting there, we're like, we watched these guys play, and we didn't see it. And then they both had pretty solid flashes in rookie years. I mean, Richardson obviously got hurt, but that was J.J. McCarthy this year. And I haven't seen it. But again, I mean, based on how my predictions went last year, a kid could go on to be a Hall of Famer for all I know.
Just don't take Bo Nix.
Falcons. Yeah, and that's the thing. We've all seen Bo Nix. We've seen him play for a long time, and I just – but again, I don't – these guys get paid a lot of money to do that. I don't get paid for anything I do, so let alone to evaluate
him. He's 3 years old already, Bo.
Yeah. Well, the Browns drafted a 29-year-old guy in the first round once, so we can anything's – I've learned to not – then just never rule out anything.
Well, they also fired Bill Belichick.
Well, announcing you're moving your team to Baltimore in the middle of the year kind of puts the kibosh on everything.
J.J. McCarthy. That's so mean.
He's a good player now. He's a lot better than you think.
Yeah. All right, Jed, we're going to let you go. We appreciate you jumping on with us.
Appreciate it, Jed.
Yeah, man. See y'all later.
And we'll bring on Dane here, but as we bring him on, I do want to mention our friends at Athens Ford. When you get the chance, they are doing – it's truck month. They've got some fantastic deals on their Ford Broncos. You can get $4,000 off the 2023 Ford Bronco models, the 2024 Ford Edge, if you want a little smaller car. Edge is a fantastic thing to zip around town in. Up to $7,000 off MSRP or 0% APR financing for 60 months. Now, you guys know interest rates are nuts. If you can get 0% APR for 5 years, you know, of course, you got to qualify for it, but that's ridiculous. Trying to think, what else do they have? Of course, they have their $500 discount for military members, past and present, current students, and recently graduated students. You can also get $500 off. If you want to get that Ford F-150, the Lightning Platinum, their EV, up to $20,000 off MSRP on that one. So check it out when you get a chance. And, of course, if you just want the regular Ford F-150, I say regular, still the best-selling truck in America, up to $12,000 off on that one or 1.9% APR financing. So some great deals they have going on right there. Also want to mention our friends at Academia Brewing Company. If you're on the east side of town and you're checking out, Athens Ford, you're like, hey, I love the Fords out here. I love the vehicles. We just bought a new truck. Now let's go celebrate. Go by Academia Brewing Company. Try their new beers. Try their great new food. There's always something new on the food menu. There's always new beers. Go out there and get the flights. The flights they do are pretty neat because they come from a barrel stave. You know, the curved barrel sections. And they've got holes cut out into it. They drop the little glasses into, and you can try a bunch of different beers without ordering, you know, an 8 ounce, 16 ounce beer. So try a flight, see which one you like, and then order a big one of that one. I warn you, if you're going out there at lunch, they have some high gravity beers. So be careful what you order at lunch if you got to go back to work, or else you'll be flying at work the next day. So check out the great beer, the great food. And of course, they're always doing fundraisers and they're always doing something fun. They're like trivia Tuesdays, bike nights. They have karaoke. There's always crazy stuff going on out at Academia Brewing Company. They've been in business, well, I think, 6 years now? So check them out when you get the chance. Academia Brewing Company on the west side of Athens. All right, we're going to add our man, Dane Young. Well, we'll let him add himself to the show.
I do have those powers. Did Jed bring you some of the St. Elmo's cocktail sauce?
He did not, nor did he bring me a sandwich from Shapiro's, which was the one thing I told him to do.
Oh.
Well, so Jed may not be on the show ever again.
Well, Coach, one of my favorite things about the NFL process and the combine is just the mirror that it is to Georgia's program or any program to tell you what the NFL thinks about Georgia. And I think enough time has passed now to where we can look at the talent that was on that national championship team, the first one that won against Alabama. And what the NFL is saying, because I tallied this up just this morning, was that as we're sitting here, Georgia's has 8 first-round picks off of that team. And I'm looking about the best 25 players, starters, plus a few more. You'd have 8 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, 3 third-round picks, 4 fourth-round picks, 3 in the 5th, 3 in the 6th. And that's before you get to McConkey, Bowers, A.D. Mitchell, and Jermaine Burton, and Cedric Van Pran. So 5 more could be added to that total to have just a ton of picks off of that team that contributed that first time. And Marius
Mims too, right?
Yeah, and I guess Mims didn't play very much that year, but I'm just saying for that one season.
He made the trip.
Yeah, he was there and he practiced, I suppose. But that's just – it's loaded. And you start seeing these – James Cook was one of the best playmakers in the NFL this year.
Yeah, I mean, you had James Cook, and then Zamir comes in there and does good. And, of course – we can go over that ad nauseum, but it's pretty obvious that recruiting is top-notch here and continues to be. And the development is what I like just because they challenge them daily and they work at it. And I thought the respect that a guy like A.D. Mitchell said, even though he is in another program, about what he was able to do here at Georgia and how it helped him promote and be a better player. A lot of times the guy's bitter when they leave, and certainly we know he had the issue with his daughter and all that, but I thought that was really relevant that he did a good job talking about what Georgia meant to him. I never will forget, I told Roddy this the first year that he was here over December, he had come in here to do like the all the young guys that came early enroll. He came in for 4 or 5 days to practice, and he was going back to Houston, and they were picking him up over here at the Georgia Center on that Broome transportation. And my daughter was coming in from Oklahoma, and I just happened to be there waiting for her, and he was standing there. You know, he was going on the outbound thing, and she was coming on the inbound, and I talked to him, and I called Kirby right then. I said, this kid right here has really got a good perspective on everything, and very mature and very sold on Georgia. I said, I don't know what kind of player he is because he either had COVID or had something wrong with him. He couldn't practice, so I didn't get to watch him. But that was my first impression of A.D. Mitchell, and it was a good one.
And he is fun to watch the Georgia fans. I mean, he loves Georgia. The Georgia fans love him. It's so funny how it's completely opposite of, like, say, Jermaine Burton. That's why I was kind of laughing, talking about the Falcons drafting one of those 11 guys. I'm like, no, to your point, they'll get a Bo Nix. They'll get a Jermaine Burton. They'll get somebody that Georgia fans are familiar with, but not a guy that will put fans' butts in seats. And I'm like, don't do it, guys. Don't do it, the Falcons.
Coach, I did want to ask you, though, just some of these drills that we see at the combine, because every year that this comes through, it seems like there's a more and more echoing of some teams just don't care about these drills in maybe ways that they once did. I mean, there was a time where Al Davis would draft a guy based on the 40 time. I think we saw that. But are you seeing the NFL teams are relying on these drills and these numbers slightly differently, or is it just the same and we're talking about it differently?
Well, you got some characteristics that are typical of a NFL draft choice that you measure them by the history of that position. And this guy's up to that standard. I remember Bill Parcells made a statement about 4 or 5 years ago when he was on TV talking about the draft. And he says, if you make exceptions to the rule because of a gut feel or something, you know, occasionally you can do it, but if you do it more than one time in a draft, it's going to come back to bite you because history tells you what it takes to play this position. And certainly you hope that the guy's got he's got good work ethic and he's a good kid and all, but what everybody needs to remember is look who he's going against. I mean, if everybody can just remember that played sports, how hard it was to move from junior high to high school and start playing. And then from high school to college, now to the pros, it's like a one percentile there. And everybody that's chasing after you or you're trying to defend against yourself is the same kind of caliber athlete. So just a quantum jump. So to answer your question, which I took a long time, they definitely go by these specifics and they go by the look test for sure, because if they want to see how their tape. The best thing is tape. Are you a football player? This is not the bikini Olympics here where it's all based on you look good, you know, in shorts and all that. But what can you do as a football player? How can you transport that to being a guy that makes plays on the field? And that's where a guy like Bullard and Tyke can tackle in space. McConkey can block on the perimeter. Van Pran can play numerous positions. He can snap the ball in the gun. And all those things add up.
Yeah. It reflects the recruiting process, Roddy. I mean, we've seen it that Georgia has these charts of for these positions or for that you need to be a certain weight. You need to be a certain speed to do certain things. Like you have to abide by that. I think that's what Coach is saying.
Now, to your point, I was just about to bring up recruiting. They have their I don't call them rules, but they have their standards. And Matt Godwin told me this, and I don't know if he developed it or if he got it from Marshall Malchow or where it started, but this is a saying in the Georgia recruiting office. I don't know if it's on the wall in there, chiseled in stone, but basically, if you're going to make an exception, it has to be an exceptional player. So if you're going to take a wide receiver who's 5'10", then he better be exceptional, you know, when you want a bigger guy. If you're going to take somebody who's like a running back, we talked about Kendall Milton not exactly killing it with his 40 time. There has to be something exceptional about him that's, you know, you say, well, he doesn't hit this size spot. He doesn't hit this weight spot. He doesn't hit this speed spot. But there's something else about him that's off the charts, and that's why we're going to take him. So we're going to make an exception to our rule because he's exceptional, and we've definitely seen that. So when Georgia makes exceptions, most of the time they work out, or at least – there have been a lot of high-profile ones that work out. But we go to camps all the time, and we talk to Georgia kids, and they're like, hey, well, what do you think Georgia thinks about me? Or do you think I could get on with Georgia? And I'm like, you know, you're a great kid, but, you know, you're 5'9". It's just
right. – Hey, that's the way it goes. But
I hate to break their hearts, but I want to be honest with them.
Like, you got to be, but let's just give them an example here that's very vivid. If you look at some of the recruiting mistakes that Georgia's made, the only time that they had more than one or two was the COVID year when they couldn't bring them in here and test them.
Yeah.
And we made some mistakes on some old linemen, no question about it, and didn't work out, and they're not here anymore, but and maybe a couple other positions. But the bottom line is, and I've told you this, Roddy, and Dane maybe a couple times, I love the summer when they have these kids in here to test them and work them out, and because I get a chance to look at them sometimes, and I go over there, and I'm old, but I can pick out a player, and it's a pretty good indicator watching what they can do, go through what Kirby and all these guys put them through, and so sometimes we get people on websites and why isn't Georgia recruiting them? I guarantee you that they check every kid out, and if they're not recruiting them, it's because they don't think you'll fit in.
Well, and now, Coach, with these summers, Georgia will have an inherent advantage that these players that are coming in to work out grew up watching Georgia win national championships. This happened very quickly, and playing in national championships, even if you want to go back to 17, they see Georgia as the dynasty right now.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, a lot of times, 5 or 6 years ago, you know, Georgia wasn't quite up there with where Alabama was and Clemson and all that. But, another thing I thought was pretty cool was seeing those Clemson kids in the locker room watching Wiggins run the 40. And, you know, it's a competitor of ours, Clemson. But most teams, and we saw that last year when Smith did so well, our guys watching him in the locker room, they relate to these players and they're happy for them because they're good team guys, and that's good for morale and see one of their guys be one of the best players in the country when they got a chance to show their wares.
I want to talk about something that Joe Wyndon brought up on Rumors versus Facts last week. He talked about, to your point, the summers. Sometimes in 5 or 6 years ago, you would have a big name kid who would come to Georgia and he wouldn't camp. He's like, you know, I'm a superstar. I don't need to perform. And Georgia is not going to offer you and recruit you hard unless you want to come, show up, show out, show what you can do. And yeah, you've got film, but they want to see, I don't care who you are. You know, we mentioned Deshaun Watson. They want Deshaun Watson to throw in front of them. You know, they want, you know, you come run, come do drills. We want to see if we can break you. That COVID year where you couldn't get those kids in here, Stacy Serios, I've seen him do it in his first iteration here. He'll run those kids through a camp back when we used to actually be able to go watch the camps. Those kids are dragging. They're pouring sweat. He's like, do it again. Do it again. He's going to run them as hard as possible to see what they're made out of.
And see what they're made up too, about their how tough they are, you know, internally. But the other thing that Kirby wants to see is how do you compete?
Yeah,
nothing makes him feel better, or any coach, if which you can't let them do and say, hey, coach, can I go out there and throw with these with your receivers, or can I go out there and catch from Carson Beck? Well, you know, you can't do that, but you can certainly let them watch our guys and everything. But it's good to hear a guy wants to go out there and see how he does, you know. But that camp, and I'm sure everybody's doing it now, but it's a fail safe. You know what I mean? It really is a good way to figure out. And I remember one of our camps, we had like six guys that were all ended up being starting quarterbacks everywhere. Phillip Rivers, Charlie Whitehurst, just one guy after another. And they were all out there competing against each other. And they were doing all these drills and they were busting ass to see if they were the best guy in our camp. And that was impressive. I like that.
Phillip Rivers didn't have kids around running around with him at that time, did he?
What is he up to, 10 now?
He's got a ton of them. I think he's a high school coach in Alabama, last I heard.
Yeah, he's down there in near the coast. And he had a great career there at NC State, and very fortunate for Chuck Amato that Auburn, Tommy Tuberville, his dad went to Auburn, and Tommy offered him a scholarship as a tight end, and Chuck Amato got the job at NC State, and Chuck asked me if there's any quarterbacks. I said, yeah, you should look at this Phillip Rivers guy, and then he ended up getting Rivers, and they got it rolling over there at NC State.
That's awesome. To your point, I remember one of the dog night camps where Corey Moore and Amarlo Herrera were stealing reps from everybody. So you'd have a guy like 13 deep, they'd go do a rep and they're like, okay, next guy's up. They wouldn't go to the back of the line. They'd go about 3 or 4, break in so that they got back to the top. And they were already committed. And Corey Board, of course, Marlo Herrera played great for Georgia, but there was no trophy at the end of the camp. They just wanted to beat everybody's ass. And you could tell the coaches love that stuff. Whereas at this past camp that we had in Carrollton, there was a Georgia target and I was asked about him. I'm like, yeah, that kid, They're doing two different halves of the field, and he would do one rep on one side and then go to the other one and go to the back of the line there. And then when he got near the front, he'd go to the back of the line on the other side. And we only saw like 2 reps all day. This kid did not want to show out in front of anybody. He's a young guy, but to your point, like Coach said, you want to see if they want to compete. That kid did not want to compete.
And I give you a good camp.
I was asked about it, and I gave him my honest opinion.
Give you a good camp story here, because all the Georgia people love hear about Georgia guys, but we were recruiting David Pollock, and he'd just gone over to Clemson's camp a couple days before, and he had a slight tweak in his hamstring, and you know he came over and he was really geared up about Georgia, wasn't any question about it. And I told him, his mother told me, said, hey coach, you know, Davey hurt his leg, and you tell him it's not going to make any difference about you recruiting him and all. I don't want him to get hurt and everything. So I told him, I said, hey, Dave, you know, you got a hamstring, you got to let it rest and everything. And he said, okay. And it was just killing him, you know, because he was standing there in the drills and he was watching all these guys. And you could just see him thinking, hey, I know I can whip this guy's ass. I can do all. And, he, you know, everybody knows what kind of competitor he is. So we have these things at night where you play, you know, we call it Georgia football, where they play 7-on-7, but it's really flag football. And you throw the ball anywhere on the field, you know what I mean? You can throw it behind the line, down the field, but and it's really kind of a fun type deal. And you mix up the teams. So I tried to go around and watch all the kids, you know, and be around as the coach and everything. So I go down there to field three, and Pollock's on one of these 7-on-7 teams out there running up and doing all this. And I said, I went over, I said, what are you doing? He said, Coach, I just couldn't stand it. So I just had to get out of here. And so it just goes to show you the competitive nature that a guy has. I said, well, and one of our guys came over and said, this guy's an unbelievable talent. I said, oh, we do that. But still, it's the thing that you just mentioned, Roddy, that I was saying. These kids want to give you a good idea of what they can do. And that if you can get them on your campus to a camp, and it's you can evaluate them, but you can also really do a lot of inroads, because all of a sudden you say, okay, you're tight end. Let's say Dane's in here from down there at Dublin, and then you work him out a little bit and said, hey, here's Brock Bowers here. He's going to take you over to our meeting. I want you to sit in with Brock and let him answer some questions and all that. I mean, you can't beat that. I mean, that's good stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're not supposed to eat up here at Bones on our training table, but you know, if you walk by, you might be able to pick up something on the way out.
Hey guys, speaking of eating, some really good stuff that you need to try when you get a chance. Grab the Your Pie, the new pizza they have out. The spicy pulled pork one. This is a good looking pizza here, and trust me, they're named pizzas, the ones that, you know, you can just go in and order, say, hey, I want a Nat, I want a Great White, you know, I want the Lineage. When they come out with a specialty pizza, because the whole concept at Your Pie is to go in, pick your dough, pick your sauce, pick your cheese, pick your toppings, and build it yourself. When they actually come out with one, they're like, hey, we're going to give one a name, and we're going to make it a special. And you just come in, and we make it, we know everything comes on it. And of course, you can adjust, hey, leave this on, or, you know, leave this off, or add extra, whatever. You can do that. But when you get a chance to go in and say, hey, give me one of your specialties, that's because they've tested the hell out of it. They've put it in front of everybody, and everybody that tried it loved it. So go grab the spicy pulled pork pizza. It's just, it looks phenomenal. I can't wait to have one. And I'm going to order it today, because I'm not going to eat it today, but I'll probably order one for like Thursday, and I'll get my double points today. The points will add up, and I'll be able to get like a free, you know, free breadsticks, free gelato, free ice cream, or, you know, free drinks or stuff like that, because I'll do it on Tuesday when it's double points. So hit them up when you get a chance. Also, if you're looking to change jobs, now I've told people for years, if I'm not doing this job, then I'll probably open a Your Pie franchise. Well, I don't know how to open a franchise, but if I reach out to myperfectfranchise.net, Andy Ludecky and the folks at My Perfect Franchise, he will show me how to do it, how to get it financed, what are the questions I need to be asking, what are the questions I need to be answering, how much time is involved, how much money is involved, how much dedication, do I need to hire a manager? All these questions that you don't even know to ask. Andy Ludecky has been through it with a ton of our readers, and he's gotten them into their own businesses. So if you want to get out of the rat race, you want to have, you know, more PTO, you want to have more say in your life, reach out to myperfectfranchise.net, Andy Ludecky. He can answer all the questions for you. It doesn't cost you anything. It's free. The franchise company pays him. So he will get you into the right franchise based on what you can do or what you need to do or want to do. So reach out to myperfectfranchise.net when you get the chance.
We'll get to questions from UGASports.com in a moment, but Coach, I wanted to get your thoughts on the proposed potential rule changes from the NCAA Football Committee on helmet communications, and then potentially adding the 2-minute warning to college football, because that looks like it's on the table as well.
Well, it's a no-brainer on the helmet thing. I mean, it's just easy communication, and you got the money for it now. I think it's something you can utilize, and certainly help the communication to your offense and your defense. Teams are going to have to adjust a little bit because they signal the, not only to the quarterback, but all of the skill people. So they'll probably continue to do that, but the quarterback. And the thing in the pros, the quarterbacks are in the huddle most of the time, so they can call it. But, you know, so many teams don't huddle anymore, so there'll be adjustment there. As far as the other thing, what was the other one you mentioned?
2-minute warning.
Well, you know, I think all of us are used to that. And we lost some time last year with the new clock rules where, you know, we kept running and didn't stop for a first down like it used to. So I'm happy about the 2-minute warning. I think it'll be good. And of course all the people in the marketing are happy because it's more commercial. So they'll jump all over that.
Questions from UGASports.com. First from UGA alum 95 says that he found it interesting that during or after the combine, pretty much every expert without exception said that Amarius Mims should have played another UGA to prove that he can play an entire season without going down for major injuries, and that he needs to prove that he can finish games, citing injuries at the combine. Coach, what were your thoughts on Amarius Mims with that?
Well, I mean, he's basing that on what some people said, but I can tell you right now, he's going in the first 15. And what are they supposed to do when you get tightrope surgery on your foot? I mean, that's what happened to him. He came back and tried to play and at 200, 350 pounds. And I'm not just defending him because he's a Georgia guy. And then he'd already run a 5.40. He'd already broad jumped. He'd already taken all the other tests. So why take a chance when you pull up with a little tightness? And that can happen when you're that big because you're not used to running 40. So I think the proof will be in the pudding when the guy's drafted in the first 10.
If that's the case, he's likely Georgia's first selection. He and Bowers, one of the two. But yeah, if it's top 10, I would think so.
Those are top two.
Bushdog, how frequently do Georgia coaches communicate with current players' parents? Is it consistent check-ins or as needed? Are there some families that are, quote, involved more than others?
Well, you got to have that dialogue. And I think that a parent in today's society needs to have it with his own kids' teachers because they're spending more time with your kids than you are. So what are they doing with them? You know, people say, well, I don't have time to go to the PTA. Get your ass over there and talk to them because they're going to be the people that are directing and doing so many things with your kids. So, and Kirby and his staff, you know, our player personnel people, Jonas Jennings, Austin Chambers, all those guys, they're constantly talking to parents about kids' grades, about, you know, what they're doing. Also, they have with the ability to have Zoom. Now there's always, you know, question and answer period about things and very good open dialogue there. And it should be. We always had a deal where every coach's number was available to all the parents and mine was too, because if you have an issue, you know, I can't do anything about the guy making the travel team on Thursday night when he called me and say why isn't he on the travel team. But I can tell you, I can just tell you why he wasn't, but the reality is you got to communicate with the families. That's important because, and you also need the families to back you up. You know, you just can't say, hey, you're getting screwed. They're not giving you a chance. Or what we do is keep a constant file. When I say we, Georgia, keep a constant file on their practice tape. And they, if somebody's got a question about it, we'll say, here's your son. This is what he's doing. This is what the guy in front of him's doing. And that's pretty much tells you.
And this was more about recruiting, though.
This said current players' parents.
Yeah. As far as the recruiting, talking to their parents. How many days?
I thought it was asking about recruiting. Yeah, that is.
How many days in a year?
Pretty much.
55. You better be on, texting those parents. Their teachers, their counselors, their girlfriends.
I got it from the, or sometimes more involved than others. That's what I was thinking about recruiting because it's been.
You know, everybody wants to be.
Hell, you're talking about Caleb Williams' dad earlier.
Everybody wants to be stroked. I mean, you got to do it. But there's a fine line between the reality of how it's going to be, which you got to be blunt about it, and then these salesmen that tell them stuff they don't, that they want to hear, but it's not true.
Yeah.
It's spring break on campus this week, so it's pretty empty. That means next week the focus does shift to spring football. And DBusk 2310 asks, which of the wide receivers does coach think will have the biggest impact this year?
Bell. I think Bell would be big time. Of course, we, you know, we got others like Lovett and Ra Ra, and then you got the guys coming in. And then I think Anthony Evans will be a real surprise about how good he is. People don't have hadn't had a chance to see him. He saw him against Alabama on the return. But we'll have some outstanding receivers. And I think Delp and Lucky, and then, you know, Sperling, these young guys will have good tight end. Then our receivers will be better because our running game be a little more explosive there with ETN back there. I just think sets up play action for Carson. This is going to be really strong.
We talk so much about what James Coley will do with recruiting. I do think it's interesting. There's a lot of new faces and bodies in that room at receiver through the portal. And so there's just a lot of shifts and changes there. Having Carson Beck as the steady force, that's got to be clutch for that group.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And, you know, word of mouth is good. I thought it was good that the quote that I can't pronounce his first name, Anaya Smith, is that the guy at Texas? He was talking about what a impact he had, Coley had on his career and how fortunate Georgia was to get him. You can't beat stuff like that when a guy talks about a coach. And, of course, we know what Coley can do. But, you know, he's got that moniker of being a great recruiter, but he's a very good technician. And, you know, he's the one that brought Cager in here, and you saw what Cager could do when he was really going, and then he got hurt. And, but, and not to mention Pickens and all these other guys. Pickens.
Yeah. I like the fact that you're talking about that room and new faces, and of course, Coley in there. Ra-Ra Thomas, Dominic Lovett, Michael Jackson III, Colby Young, London Humphreys, and of course, then all the freshmen like Scobie White and Nitro Tuggle. Five transfer wide receivers in that group. So
yeah, five, or I thought we had four.
I think it's five.
Who's the other one? Guy from USC, Vanderbilt, Miami, and
we got Ra-Ra Thomas and Dominic Lovett.
From before.
Then you got Michael Jackson, Colby Young, and London Humphreys.
Yeah. Like, why did he come up with a good stat there, bro? Sure, guys, transfers been there a year.
Well, I'm just saying, this is new faces, new guys that Georgia's making a living in the transfer portal, and you're going to bring in a really good recruiter. I'm like, this could be a very interesting room. Very
not interesting. Really, not really good. You know, you ever heard Tony the Tiger?
Yeah, he's a great recruiter. And I know a lot of people are like, well, I don't want Coley calling plays. Well, don't worry about it. You got Mike Bobo back there. And Mike's Mike did a pretty good job last year, so let's give him a look.
I don't call him plays either, myself. But it just happened that we had some guys get hurt. But I'm happy with what our staff. Mike's going to do a good job working, bringing Coley in here and help Coley help things too. But and, you know, there's a little bit of extra juice to this spring practice because we finally got beat. And – even if you had the guy's attention, I think you're going to have it even more of, hey, this is what we got to do. We got to get better at short yardage. We got to get off the field on defense. We can't give up busted plays. We got to take care of the ball in the red zone. All these things we can work on that got us beat, you know, and it got our guy's attention.
Coach, do you have a joke for us?
Not really today. I thought we were going to have so much material with all this this other stuff that I really didn't, but I
will. That's all right. We'll dock it, and you can give us two next time.
We'll give you an example of how you get beat, and from the standpoint of everybody who's talking about Oklahoma softball, what a great team they had. They won 71 straight, three national championships in a row, and you know, with ESPN Plus, you can watch TV right there on your iPad. And so I watched Oklahoma play Louisiana, which is not a real good team. But during that course of the game, Oklahoma made three errors, got picked off at second base one time, had a guy, had a girl on second base leave too soon, and walked about four hitters, and they ended up losing in extra innings because they beat themselves. That happens. That happens in football too. Most good teams don't get beat. They lose the game. They beat themselves. Otherwise, they whip everybody. Honestly, Avoid losing.
Well, if you take what Coach just said and you listen to any Kirby Smart press conference, he will give the other teams a ton of credit. But every time you ask him about, hey, give us your thoughts on Tennessee, what do you think about Auburn, Georgia, he always would right back to his team. And it sounds like coach speak, and this is the one thing in 8 years I've learned about Kirby Smart. When he says what we think is coach speaking cliches about turnovers and not beating yourselves and getting off the field, it's because he, from his toenails to his hair tips, he means it. I can only control what I can control. And if we control our end, we're going to be fine. But he's so furious about them not controlling, or, you know, you want to see him lose his mind is when his guys make a mistake. He's like, that's something we can fix. So it's you're dead on. If you listen to any of his press conferences, he talks about not beating themselves.
I think it's going to be interesting that Alabama starts spring practice this week. And, you know, I think different scenario with the new coach and all the stuff going on. So that'll be something to watch for Alabama's first practice today.
Interesting. Well, Georgia's practice will be next Tuesday. We may have
Kirby,
to.
Will Kirby be on at 12 o'clock?
That, I think so. That's why we're going to have to adjust our time for next week.
Yeah, let's do that.
A little dawn and after dark.
We don't want to steal any thunder from Kirby because we wouldn't have anybody watching us if they can watch him. I don't blame him. I'd watch him too. And, we'll work that out. And some good questions today. And appreciate Jed sharing that stuff on the combine. And, you know, next Wednesday we have the Georgia Pro Day. Okay. Maybe we should have our show on Wednesday night.
We could do that. That way we could recap Tuesday's practice and then Wednesday's Pro Day.
Give a promo for Thursday's practice.
Yeah, there you go. All right, folks. That's all the time we have for this week.
It might be. Well, Monday night's when the Bachelor's on, isn't it?
Don't want to mess with that, Coach.
Yeah, next week we got to have a rumors versus fact show because we're not doing one this week. I was driving back from Charleston yesterday, so I couldn't do a show. But so next Monday, either the Bachelor or rumors versus facts. That's your Monday mandatory viewing. So we'll hit it up Wednesday.
When I watch the Bachelor, it'll be because I'm in a rest home, and that's the only thing that's on.
That one TV in the common room that they won't let you change the channel on.
Man, I think.
Okay, great. Now I'm depressed. All right, folks. We'll see you next Wednesday night. Y'all take care.